Hello, and so welcome back to the Woman of Faith in Leadership podcast. And we're in the middle, or actually at the end of a series where I'm going through leadership lessons learned from women in the Bible. Now, I'll tell you, there are many amazing women in the Bible, and this last one truly is one of the bravest women in the Bible. I'm sure you can guess who she is. It's only befitting for me to end the series with Esther, because she was truly brave for what she did in the Bible to save her people. Got to love the story of Esther. I absolutely loved the movie as well. So One Night with the King was the movie version of that, and I thought it was absolutely amazing. And as you could tell, probably from my story that I told with Ruth as well, is that I absolutely love a good love story. So I'm really a sucker for a really good love story. And Esther is one such as that. So Esther's story is truly actually one of a kind. And when it comes to leadership lessons, there are actually 7 leadership lessons. When I did my research that came up, there is just so many things we can learn from Esther. And you know, originally when I started thinking about doing this as an episode, I was going to take the three women and put them into one episode. I realized, oh my goodness, there's so much to learn from just Esther alone. I have to do a separate episode. So I ended up doing 3 episodes. So let's not waste any more time. Let's jump in to learn those 7 lessons from Esther. Leading as a woman is tough, but leading as a woman of faith is next level. However, it doesn't have to be that way. God has called you into this leadership role because He says you are worthy. You are His child, and if He qualifies you, who in this world can unqualify you? You might suffer from imposter syndrome and believe you're not good enough, but God says you are good enough. Hi, I'm Rika Whelan, Christian leader and workplace culture coach, and together we're going to navigate leadership with faith as our foundation. Let's get started. Grab your coffee or water, keep that notebook and pen handy, and let's jumpstart your leadership. Now, the first lesson we can learn from Esther is courageous initiative. Now, Esther's bravery shines through when she approaches King Xerxes without an invitation, risking her life. Now, if you can remember, it was against the law to approach the king without an invitation. But as leaders, we must be willing to step out of our comfort zones, take bold actions, and advocate for what is right, even if it means risking our jobs or risking our reputation or risking everything that we've already built up in terms of relationships. And it is definitely very, very daunting. But as leaders, we have got the responsibility to advocate for our team, to advocate for ourselves, to advocate for our departments. And sometimes that means that we need to take bold actions. And also when it comes to advocating for what is right, that means advocating for integrity, advocating for there not to be gossip in the workplace, advocating for what is right. And someone once said that integrity means doing the right thing all the time, whether somebody's looking or not. And this comes to play really when we're in conversations with other people and we know that what the other person's saying is not right, but we choose not to speak up. We choose not to be bold because we just don't want to ruin our relationship with them. So one of those lessons that Esther teaches us is courageous initiative. Be bold and advocate for what is right. The second thing we can learn from Esther is strategic timing. Okay, Esther's timing was impeccable. She recognized the critical moment that she had to approach King Xerxes and she seized it. Okay, can you imagine how her heart must have been pounding in her chest as she was getting through those doors and coming in front, approaching the king without an invitation? I mean, she must have been absolutely petrified. Her courage came at a pivotal junction when her people basically faced annihilation. And so as leaders, we need to discern certain opportunities and certain moments. And basically, we need to be decisive in our decision making, because sometimes indecisiveness for things that we don't know what to do means that because we become indecisive, it means that we don't take action at all. And so when you're thinking about implementing change, when you're thinking about something that needs to happen in your workplace, really go and think about what is a good and strategic moment to tackle that problem. Because I do applaud you if you want to take action straight away. Amazing. Well done. But sometimes taking action straight away can just be the wrong time. And unfortunately, I have put my foot in my mouth at certain times. Luckily, not literally, but figuratively, when I have said the wrong thing at the wrong time. So timing really does matter. And as a leader, we need to discern what is the best time to bring something up. The other thing, of course, is if one of your employees is going through a really tough time and they have stuffed something up at work, you really need to choose your timing really well here as well, because leave it too long and they think that you didn't notice that they made this mistake, and basically they think they got away with it. They're just so thankful that you didn't notice. But if they're going through a really tough time, you don't want to go head on straight away, because they're going through a really tough time, it might just not be the right time to speak to them about it. Sometimes waiting 24 hours can be a good thing. The other thing in terms of timing is obviously if you feel the emotions boiling up in you, and you know that, you know, if I talk to this person right now, I'm probably going to bite their head off, then you also know that the timing's not well. So thinking about timing, strategic timing, is something that we can learn from Esther. Now, the third thing we can learn from Esther is about selflessness and sacrifice. Esther's willingness to risk her life for her people exemplifies selflessness. She basically prioritized their well-being over her own safety, because she knew that should King Xerxes and everyone else that was with him, should they choose to follow the law, then she would have basically lost her life. But because of King Xerxes, just the relationship that he was building with Esther, God had really had a plan in that moment, because King Xerxes actually really loved Esther. So that was actually, again, one of the amazing things. And I know love doesn't really come into play here, but when it comes to leadership, where it comes to play for me is that just that kindness towards other people. Because sometimes what we want to do, like let's say, for example, you know, there was one staff member who had bit another staff member's head off. You know, what we want to do sometimes is just jump in and tell them that, you know, what you did wasn't right, we want to mediate or whatever. And although I think the timing of that is important and I think it should happen, I don't think you must leave or ignore it, because ignoring certain behaviors means that you basically condone that behavior. But I think when it comes to kindness, just showing kindness in that space towards both parties, and then basically being selfless. So sometimes as a leader, it means that we focus more on other people than what we do on ourselves. So if you've got something that's really crucial and important to do, but in that moment you see or know that a staff member really needs to speak to you in that moment, then instead of showing them away, basically talking to them, continuing to talk to them, and then setting another meeting so that they know that you are going to talk to them again tomorrow. And it can be a really tough situation to be selfless in a leadership role, because leaders, I've spoken to many leaders that are already very selfless. They give up so much of themselves, but then they give up too much of themselves and they end up experiencing burnout. So that's the opposite of that, of course, or that's what it can lead into if you're not careful. Now, the fourth thing we can learn from Esther is about prayer and fasting. Esther had a 3-day prayer and fasting period before she approached the king, okay? Because she realized her reliance on God's guidance. I think she knew what she had to do, but she didn't She must have been petrified and scared. That's all I can think. And so she prayed and fasted. And she sought God's divine favor before approaching the king, because she knew that if she didn't do that, what could happen? She also had to ensure that she chose the right timing for that. So she prayed and fasted over that, and I am sure that God showed her that this is the day and the moment that she had to approach the king. So leaders should cultivate a strong spiritual foundation. Prayer and seeking God's wisdom are absolutely essential to your leadership role. And this is something that I have shared a lot on the podcast as well, is, you know, putting on the armor of God, doing the prayer, and every single morning protecting yourself from what the day has to come, and praying to God every single day for your daily bread. And sometimes as a leader, or just as a human being, we want to pray like 50 or 100 days in advance. And we pray for God to provide for us if we're going through financial troubles, or if something's gone wrong. But what God wants is for us to trust Him on a daily basis. God, give me today my daily bread. Give me today the wisdom that I need to deal with my team. God, give me the wisdom today for what I need for my meetings. I've got a tough meeting today. Please give me wisdom today. And so this is definitely something that we can learn from Esther, is that she had a very strong spiritual foundation. Now, the fifth thing we can learn from Esther is using influence for good. And John Maxwell says that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And so Esther leveraged her position as queen to protect her people. She didn't use her influence for personal gain, such as Haman did, but for the greater good. And so leadership is about using your influence to make a positive impact on others and advance noble causes. And so in the workplace, what this basically means is that sometimes it means that we just have to influence our peers, other leaders. We have to influence up to the executive management and use that influence for the good, not for our own gain, but for the gain of our team, for the gain of the organization. And it can sometimes be tough. And to be honest, I confessed to somebody the other day, when I stepped into a specific leadership role, I felt quite important in that role. And I felt like, you know, I'm this very important person in this role. And as a matter of fact, you know, I felt a bit of, I don't know, I felt a bit cocky in that position. And so it didn't last very long, but it was still a way I felt, because I had a position of authority. And I was eye to eye or peers with people who were also in, you know, an authority figures. And I felt like very, very self-important. But obviously I stepped down from that very, very easily, as God showed me that it's not about you, it's about me, it's about relationship, it's about being kind. And never in that position did I feel like I was going to be mean to other people, but I did feel quite self-important. I got over that quite quickly, and I'm glad I can be honest on the podcast, because I feel like people need to understand that sometimes we go through those moments, but we just need to move on. We just need to move on from that and say, okay, that's not me. That's not what God wants from me. So yeah, anyway, and so we can definitely use our influence as leaders for the greater good and for the organization and for our employees. Now, the sixth thing we can learn from Esther is silent strength. Esther's silence during her early days as queen allowed her to observe, learn, and strategize. When the time came, her strength emerged. And the lesson we can learn from her is that leaders don't always need to be vocal about what they're doing and about how strong they are and about this amazing project that they're working on, and basically bragging. So leaders don't need to brag, okay? Silence, strength, and discernment matters. And this is something that I have seen quite a lot in various industries, and what I've experienced is this thing of, I need to brag about what I'm doing. Or the other thing that I've personally experienced is that, and this was a really good conversation that I had with a mentor of mine, because one day I was saying to this mentor, I said, look, I feel so frustrated because I feel that if I don't share every single thing that I do with my leadership team, that then they think I'm doing nothing. So I felt like I had to justify what I was doing, because some days it would go by that my team would not see me because I was just so busy. And I felt as if in the fortnightly leadership team meetings that I had to justify my actions. And so on the agenda, I would always recap what I was working on for the past fortnight, just so that my leadership team would know that I was actually really busy. And that was really silly, because the reason I did that was only because of one of the people in my leadership team. It wasn't because of all of them, but it was one person who questioned what I was doing. And that's my point. There's always this 1% of people, and then we change everything. And I believe I've said this in the podcast before, but we change everything around us, policies, procedures, our action, just because of that 1% of people. But then 99% of people are actually okay. We don't adjust for them. And so, you know, I started doing that. But this mentor said to me that instead of feeling like you're justifying what you're doing, change your mindset around that and think that you're taking them on your journey. Because if they understand the job and the work that you are doing, it means that one day if they have to step up into your position because you are unwell or something's happened or you're not in that role anymore, then they know and understand what the role entails. So you're taking them on a journey versus me just justifying what I'm doing. And so as soon as I changed my perception on that, and as soon as that mentor said that to me, I realized that, okay, I don't need to tell them everything that I'm doing. I can explain to them about my role and the things that I'm doing there, but for the purpose of them learning from me, not for the purpose of me justifying. But everything else, if it's not important, they don't need to know about it, then I'm just going to do it in silence because they don't need to know about it. And so there were some things that I did that no one knew about. And, you know, I had to get into the groove of not sharing that with people, because I think I then got into the habit of sharing that with people. So yeah, so Essa learned us about silent strength. You know, she wasn't bragging about the things that she'd done or about, no, she was listening, she was quiet, and she was strategizing. And so then the final thing we can learn from Esther, the seventh lesson, is faith in providence. So although God is not explicitly mentioned in the book of Esther, his providence is evident. Esther's obedience aligned with God's purpose. And so the lesson is that leaders trust that God works behind the scenes, even when his name isn't explicitly invoked. And this is true for any leader, anybody who's listening at the moment, especially if you work in a workplace where there are people that are not Christian. There are leaders or other people around you that are atheists, that are non-believers, or believe in something else for that matter. And so, you know, we don't always have to use God's name to be a good leader. We don't have to, you know, say that we're a Christian to be a good leader, because leadership, you can actually show people through your leadership actions so much that they will say, what do you have that I don't have? Or why are you such a good leader? I read this quote this morning that says, we always remember the kind leaders because they were kind to us. Or we remember leaders because of the way they acted to us, especially if they were kind. It was a quote like that. And that is so true. If you have employees that you are kind to, you are respectful to them, and you actually genuinely care about them, then they're going to remember you. And you have then role modeled to them Christian leadership, whether they know it or not. And so it's so beautiful, because then if they step into leadership positions themselves one day, they're going to be like, oh yeah, I really need to be like Sophie, or I really need to be like, you know, Marie, because she was just so kind and I really loved that leadership style. And of course, there's more to leadership than just being kind and, you know, all the things that we've just mentioned, because we actually have KPIs and we actually have, you know, work to do. And you know, we are reporting back to our line managers again. But when it comes to these leadership lessons, these seven leadership lessons we can learn from Esther, it can actually really, really change the way we work on a daily basis. So I'll quickly recap those seven lessons. And I gave each one a title so that I could recap them for you. And then I'll just give a quick summary. So courageous initiative. And the lesson is leadership often requires stepping into uncomfortable situations to effect positive change. Number two is strategic timing. And the lesson is effective leaders discern opportune moments and act decisively. Timing matters. The third one is selflessness and sacrifice. And the lesson is leadership involves sacrifice. Putting others' needs first is a mark of a true leader. Four, prayer and fasting. And then the lesson is leaders should cultivate a strong spiritual foundation. Prayer and seeking God's wisdom are essential. Five, using influence for good. Leadership is about using our influence to make a positive impact on others and advance noble causes. Six, silent strength. Leaders don't always need to be vocal. Silent strength and discernment matters. Seven, faith in providence. Leaders trust that God works behind the scenes, even when his name isn't explicitly invoked. Well, that's the end of the episode, and I really hope that you enjoyed this three-part series. And so come and join us on the Facebook group where we are engaging in some polls on which lessons you just feel, which woman in the Bible you feel most resembles you, or if there's any other woman in the Bible that I haven't mentioned that you have also learned leadership lessons from. And yeah, the Facebook group is growing, so it's really good to see you all in there. You can go to the womenoffaithinleadership.com website and you will find the link there, or you can just simply go to Facebook. It is Women of Faith in Leadership Community. You can find us there. Please make sure that you answer the questions before I can let you into the community. Those questions really help me to inform the podcast. It helped me to understand who you are, where you're from. And so those questions are not just random, they're purposeful. And then there's also an opportunity for you to share with me what topics do you want me to cover more on the podcast. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you've not done that yet. I would really highly appreciate that, and it would bless me so much. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll speak to you again next week. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. If this podcast blessed you in some way, the number one way you can thank me is by leaving a review. Your feedback means the world to me and lights me up every single time when I read it. And it makes me want to keep going. So please leave a review, and your review will also help other Christian women in leadership find the answers they are looking for. So whether you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, scroll down to the review section and leave that review. Then head over to womenoffaithinleadership.com and join our free Facebook community, and I look forward to engaging with you there.